but to the Lord. Yes, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. To the Lord. Amen. Well, in a world that's falling apart more and more every day that we live in it, aren't you glad you've got something certain that you can stand on? Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now let's give the Lord Jesus a real big hand clap of praise. You love Him with all your heart. Harry, sing me a verse of that. Living below. Let's sing this verse here.
Living below in this so simple world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation so.
Praise the Lord. Well, isn't God good, church? How many of you enjoyed services here over the weekend? Was the word of the Lord totally, it was just outstanding, wasn't it? Presence of our Lord and the blessings of God just, well, we don't want to never take it one time for granted. But we always want to be appreciative of what God does for us. Because I tell you what, without His presence, without His blessings, it's all in vain anyway. It's everything in vain, but we're certainly glad that the Lord just, well, He just seems like He just comes and visits with us about every service, and we certainly appreciate that from the bottom of our heart. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Amen. Shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Praise the name of the Lord. Play a little bit of that, brethren. Play it real good this time. Hallelujah. Needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, tell me, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
Needing a friend.
Hallelujah.
To help me in the end.
Thank you, Lord. The Lord. Let's look at our prayer requests tonight. If you don't care to stand with me just a minute or two, let's look at these things tonight. I want to pray for Ryan Kennedy, who needs to find a permanent job. So we just commit that unto the Lord. Ask God to help Ryan be able to do that. I want to remember Brother Darrell Ward tonight in prayer. He's having back problems once again. Had to cancel some meetings. Pray that the Lord will touch his body. He has more meetings scheduled for this weekend, so we just ask God to touch Brother Darrell Ward, one of our evangelists that works out of this church, and, well, just one of the finest brothers that I ever met in my life. And we just want to pray for our brother tonight that the Lord would touch him and just let him be well. Also, if you'd remember my wife tonight, Glenda, not feeling well. They've got an old cold with a cough and just not feeling good at all. You know how those things make you feel. So please remember her tonight. We'll remember Vidi Grillo in prayer. She's very sick in body, needs the Lord's healing touch. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Brother Wade Allen wants to offer his sincere thanks to you for the cards, gifts, phone calls, words of encouragement, and especially for the heartfelt prayers that brought us through a very difficult time during the recent passing of my sister. May God richly bless you all. Well, Brother Wade, we're sure thinking about that family, and may God bless our brother and sister Altland tonight as we commit them unto the Lord. Want to pray for Sean Riddleball, recovery. They're asking that we would pray for his fast recovery from knee surgery. So let's remember that need tonight. Want to pray for Brother Tracy. He has a serious kidney infection. So just commit that unto the Lord tonight. Want to remember Christine Baker, who's experiencing a lot of pain in her right knee. Let's pray for that need tonight. Also, Brother Baker has some unspoken prayer requests. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Sue Miller sends this in. My 11-year-old grandson is having complications from a concussion that he got about 3 weeks ago while playing football. They're asking that we would remember that child in prayer tonight. Paul Arrowwood sends this in to please pray for a friend of our family, Greg Wilgocki. I hope I got that name close to being right. He's in the hospital in Puerto Rico with blood clots in his lungs. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we believe that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we? We just commit these things unto Him because He knows best. And He's got the answer. Don't we believe that tonight with all of our heart? Brother Terry, come tonight if you would. Pray. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service. Let's commit these things unto the Lord tonight as we pray. God bless you, buddy.
Let's truly do that. Let's just pray together as we look to the Lord on behalf of these requests. And you believe, I'll believe with you, and we'll see God move on the scene. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in the house of God. And first thing we want to do, we want to invite your presence. We want you to take the uppermost seat. We want you to be the centerpiece, Lord, of our life, the focus of our thoughts, the very essence of our being. Lord, you're not just a historical God, but truly, if we could truly just really, once again, fall in love with you all over again. We sing the song, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. And truly, if that's not a reality, then we need to be checking up. Because the one that we are married to, spend eternity to, we should be foremost in our thoughts and our lives. Come present tonight, Lord, and meet with us, I pray. These requests that we have upon our heart, I ask that you would be with each one. We pray for Brother Darrell especially. Lord, he's had such a battle with that back problem. Satan, you're listening to me praying right now. I want you to know we take the sword of the Spirit and I drive that right through your heart by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Take your hands off of God's property. May Brother Darrell be released from that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He received those 39 stripes that Darrell could be well, and you held him long enough. Loose him and let him go free. Pray for Brother Baker, for Brother Tracy, the different ones that I'm holding in my hand. Their names have been mentioned, Lord, and the request has been made known. And Lord, you're an ever-present help in a time of need, in a time of trouble. And you said, ask abundantly that your joys may be full. Anoint the speaker tonight. Give him the words to speak. May he not have to search, Lord, but may they just come flowingly that we might be blessed in the service, that you would give us, Lord, the ever-present water from the rock. Give us grace, Lord. May when we leave the building, we say it's been good to be in the house of God. Anoint the musicians. Anoint the singers as we all sing as a congregation. May our voices just sing a loud anthem of praise unto you. And may you be joyful to receive our thanksgiving tonight. And may we say it's been good to be in the house of God. Grant these things, Lord. We love you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Terry, God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. Also, those that will be streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless our brothers and sisters around the world that's streaming the service tonight. Brother John Horniak's going to be bringing you the word tonight, and I know I've done visited with him. He just committed all unto the Lord, so we want to pray for our brother tonight that God will just bless him and anoint him and let us have a heart to hear the word of the Lord. Let's sing a song tonight, Sheltered in the Arms of God. Aren't you glad you're sheltered tonight? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's sing it if you will.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me.
Oh, yes, they are.
In paths that I must draw. I have no fear, for Jesus
Hallelujah.
Walks beside me.
Aren't you glad that He does, church?
For I'm sheltered in the arms of God.
Oh, let's sing about it now.
So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't weary me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me and not a bird shall harm me. Oh, Lord, I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portal. Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must draw. Then I'll be changed and go to God's new heaven. Sheltered safe.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're sheltered in the arms of Almighty God? I'd hate to get up in the morning time not knowing that He was not my Father. Not knowing that He loved me. Not knowing that He was my God, my King, my Savior. The greatest friend I've ever had in my life. I'd hate to get up in the morning and not realize that, wouldn't you? Do you love Him with all your heart tonight, church? Give Him another big hand clap of praise. Sing that second verse for me again, buddy. Hallelujah. Oh, let's worship the Lord, church. Blessed be the Lord.
I shall hear the call from heaven's portal.
Thank you, Lord.
Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must draw.
Praise the Lord.
Then I'll be changed.
Oh, we're going to be changed.
And go to God's new heaven. Shelter safe
within sing that little chorus. I'm going to leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You know what the key is? I'm going to leave some glorious morning. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to cross old Chile Jordan. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Oh, the water is deep and the river is wide. But I'm going to cross to the other side. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to leave some glorious morning.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm going to cross old Chile Jordan.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, the water is deep and the river is wide. But I'm going to stand on the other side. I'm going to live in heaven someday.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm gonna leave some glorious morning.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I'm gonna cross old Chile Jordan.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, the water is deep, the river is wide, but I'm gonna stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in heaven someday.
Yes, I am.
Oh, sing
yes,
it. Oh, I'm gonna leave some glorious morning.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I'm gonna cross old Chile Jordan.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Oh, the water is deep, the river is wide. I'm gonna stand on the other side. I'm gonna live in heaven someday. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You're singing awful good tonight, and I certainly appreciate it. You can be seated. I thank Sister Ivy and the Webbers. I don't know exactly how they have that put together tonight, but they're going to give us a song. So if they'll come at this time, get ready to give us a song. We'll go right on into the service tonight. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Isn't it good to know that you're on your way to glory? Praise the name of the Lord. Let's enjoy these singers as they sing tonight. Good, wasn't it? Amen. I know that Brother and Sister Weber are proud of their children. And Brother Rob, we're kind of proud of you all too. Amen. We love the Webers, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll just give Brother Rob a rose while he can smell it tonight. But I've never approached him. I've never had a conversation with the man that I didn't leave encouraged and build up in the Lord, Brother Rob. And I appreciate that. Appreciate that, bud. Let's stand tonight. I'm going to break down and cry like a baby here in a minute. Brother John Horniak's going to come and bring us the word of the Lord tonight. You going to pray for him?
Yeah.
Give Jesus one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight.
sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but I know I do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can have a fat bank account. You can have all your needs met on this earth and be miserable. But until you meet that peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay to praise Him. That's what we're here for. Hallelujah. Thank you for the peace, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I'd like to speak to you, if I could, tonight on an inheritance trust. An inheritance trust. And I know that sounds a little weird, but maybe, Lord help me, if the Lord helps me. If He don't help me, then you're really going to think it's weird. But if He helps me, we'll get to the point and the meat of the subject. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 19, verse 16. Let's just bow our heads. I wonder if you would tonight, if you have a need in your heart, if you have something that you need an answer for, if you just make it known by lifting up your hands and confess it and say, Lord, Brother John's got a subject. He's got notes. He's studied. But Lord, I have a need. Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord. Lord, we're humbled by your presence, Lord. It's so overpowering up here right now, Lord. And Lord, you know what kind of turmoil I've been in, Lord. I've just been nervous and everything else, Lord. It's been the subject matter you give me, Lord, is just, I don't know how you're going to put it together, but I'm trusting you. And Lord, you see these people, Father, and you see me up here, Lord. We all have needs, Lord. We have questions in our hearts. We have wonderings, Lord. And there's a lot of turmoil going on, Lord. And it's around the message in our lives, Lord. It's just the last days, Father. That's all there is to it. There's so much pressure and so much turmoil, Lord. But Lord, we know that you're the only real peace. And Lord, we believe we're here. We're gathered here, Lord, to get answers, Lord. And we know, Lord, if there's turmoil, then there has to be peace, Lord. And Father God, through your word, we pray that you would help us find that peace, Lord. We ask, Lord Jesus, in your precious name, Lord. Lord, take these lips of clay once again, Father. Lord, I don't just need to preach, Lord, but the people need to pull, Lord Jesus. And I pray we get in harmony, Lord. May we find that channel where you're working, Father. Lord, we just love you. We thank you for it, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Amen. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? May the Lord add his blessing to the word. You may be seated. I want to read this quote real quick. It's from Choosing of a Bride, 65. It says, It's too bad that we ever got away from the real leader that God left us to lead the church. He never sent us presbyters. He never sent a bishop, cardinals, priests, popes. I'm going to add one, and it's going to go. Hey, brother. Now, Brother Branham was put here to tie together truths. Is that right? I believe the message. Y'all believe the message? Now, He put even these things here to help lead us, to guide us, to tie some of the loose ends together. Amen. But was what that man had to do, just like me, when I get up behind here, just like Brother Terry, Brother Donnie, and everyone else, he had to have the Holy Ghost to lead him. That's what was sent here to lead the church. The Holy Ghost was sent here to lead the church. Now, he put instruments in our hands to use, in his hands. Let me put it that way. He put instruments in his hands to use. I think if you're a minister or not, the Holy Ghost can lead you. It has to lead you. If you don't have that, you have nothing. You can have every message book memorized. You could have the message in your hip pocket at all times. The Pharisees had scrolls written on their forehead. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. He never sent a bishop, cardinals, priests, popes. He sent the Holy Ghost for the church to lead the church. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will lead you into all truth. Into all truth. How many believes the message is true? So what is it that led you to the message? What is it that led you to the message? It was the Holy Ghost. You didn't get a secret message from Brother Branham. The Holy Ghost put somebody there. The Holy Ghost moved you into a place where you could receive the message. It was the Holy Ghost that saved your soul. It was the Holy Ghost that has got you to this place. Hallelujah. When he, the Holy Ghost, has come, he will lead you into all truth. Reveal these things to you. Now, do we see where there's a disconnect in the message today? Do we see where there's a disconnect in the message today? It says, let me read it again. Now pay close attention. I wish I would have got these to the brothers. It says, he will lead you into all truth. Reveal these things. He will reveal these things. So to these people that don't have the Holy Ghost, but have a whole lot of message, they have nothing revealed to them. You have to have the Holy Ghost to get these things revealed to you. Hallelujah. That I have told you. Reveal these things to you that I have told you. Bring them to your remembrance and we'll show you things that is to come. Amen. That's what a prophet's for, to show you things that are to come. Amen. The prophet's here, not here to save you. The Holy Ghost saves you. The Holy Spirit was to do that. Now the modern church hates that. Amen. Let me put another word in there. The modern message church hates that. They don't like it. So how could she be the bride of Christ? Whew. Hey, it's easy to throw out, hey, I'm the bride. I'm the bride. That's easy to say. The people of today is choosing a modern denomination. Right here in the message? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What it does, it only reflects their poor understanding of the word. Whew. And then he says, I don't mean to hurt, but I mean to let it go deep enough until you look at it. Whew. That's stout. It's truth, but it's stout. Now, the reason I chose this title was I was driving down the road. It's been probably 8-9 years ago. And the Lord struck this to my heart, and I've been wanting to preach it forever. And he never would let me let it go. Amen. Till now. And I was driving down the road, and I was asking a guy who knew a lot of things about financial things. And I said, now explain to me, in your own words, what a trust fund is. What's a trust fund? And he said, it's a way for someone to control their money beyond the grave. It's a way for someone to control their money beyond the grave. Now, let's say that I'm a wealthy man, and we're really stretching it here. But we can pretend for a little while. I've got oodles of money in my pocket. And even more in the bank. Now my children are 7, 5, 3, and 1. And I'm a little bit concerned about a 7-year-old having millions and millions of dollars. Millions. Can you imagine what a 7-year-old would do with millions of dollars? Okay, I know my son, and bless his heart, I love him to death. But he loves toys. And he loves candy. And he loves ice cream. He could care less about a house, Brother Key. He could care less about what it's doing to his teeth. So, what I would do is set up a trust fund. So if anything happened to me and my sweet wife, because my sweet wife, she does care about a house, and she would spend it responsibly. But I would set up a trust fund for my children. And I would say, go to a lawyer and say, now sir, I've got 4 children. And I've got all this money. But if something were to happen to me tomorrow, they would just breeze through it, or you know, the state would get custody of them and they would breeze through it, or the grandparents would get custody and maybe they would breeze through it. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm saying. Well, let's just put it. We were all on a plane together when we go. That's the safest way to go. And so I need to make sure that this 7-year-old and this 5-year-old and this 3-year-old and this 1-year-old all have means and they're well taken care of, because I want a good life for my children. Amen. So at the age of 16, I'm going to give him $2,000 to buy a clunker. Because at 16, you don't need a new car. Oh,
I was 16. Who else was 16? That'll get you something to get from point A to point B and not too far else. I had a car when I was younger. I'd go up half a hill and have to turn in a driveway and get up enough speed to get back up the rest of the hill. So it's good for me. So, and when he's 16, we're going to see how he handles that responsibility. There'll be enough money there that he can pay for his insurance. But I'm old fashioned. I think that he needs to pay for his own gas and all this other, you know, the frills and all that other stuff. Amen. I help him with the insurance the first time. And then, you know, when he turns 18, he's becoming a man. So we're going to give him a little bigger bite. We'll give him $20,000. And we're going to see how he handles that. And the stipulation is if he don't just blow through it and he actually handles this money responsible, then on his 21st birthday, he's going to get an even bigger chunk. And so on with each of my children. Now, I'm going to read the definition of an inheritance, and then we'll keep moving. Something that is or may be inherited. Property passing at the owner's death to the heir or those entitled to succeed. A legacy. It's also the genetic characteristics transmitted from parent to offspring, taken collectively. Amen. And now here's one. A portion, birthright, heritage, absolute rule was considered the inheritance of kings. Right. Yeah. Amen. Now, this is the definition of a trust. Reliance on the integrity, strength, ability, surety, etc. of a person or thing. Confidence. Now, God had seven church ages.
Amen.
And each one of these ages, he released a little bit more of his word.
Right.
He said, let me see how that first church age handles what I give them. The portion that I give them. And we're going to see how mighty my word really is. And it was mighty. And in the second church age, he said, you know, man, I'm good. My heritage handled what I gave him really well. So during the second church age, he gave him a little bit more. And a little bit more. And a little bit more. And now we're down to the seventh church age. And we've got this gift of the Holy Ghost that's going to lead us into all truths. All truths. We have reached the totality of this message of what God has for us to get us out of this place. We have reached the pinnacle. This is what all these ages were reaching for. I can imagine my son, if he had that first $2,000, he was thinking, man, this is just a taste. This is just a little bit. And when he got that greater portion, he said, man, I want to go crazy and spend it. I'm 18.
Watch out.
I'm going to go crazy and spend it. But if I do, there won't be any more. Maybe the church ages, you know, if I could type it like this, maybe the second church age said, man, I got a lot of word. I'm going to go crazy with this word.
But God said, whoa, there's so much more to come. I bet you they had sermons where they felt like they could rapture. Right? I bet you they had so much fire built up in their bones, they said, we're out of here. Forget the rest of them church ages. We're going now. And it just built and built and built. But now, we've got the whole truth.
Amen.
We've got the whole thing. We have reached the fullness. And it looks, you know, I hear different things and websites and Facebook and blah, blah, blah.
Preach it, bro.
And some of these people have gone crazy with the word. And we've just slowly moved into this. And we're reaching the fullness, the inheritance. We've got the full trust. We've got the full trust. We've got all His trust. We've got all His trust. He says, you are going to make it, little bride. You are going to do it. I don't care what Facebook says. I don't care what these websites say. I don't care what nut said they believe something one minute and change, flip-flopped and changed their mind the next. They never had the fullness in the first place. They never were part of that trust. They never were. It breaks our hearts. But chin up, little bride. They never were in the first place. That's scary. That's awful. I don't want to see a one perish. But I've got to worry about my trust. Is that right? We can pray for those. We don't want to stop praying for those. That's what the true love of God is. We don't ever want to stop praying for unbelievers. Hallelujah. Here we are. We've got all His trust and all His words. And we're right at the pinnacle. We're ready to rapture. Almost. Almost ready to rapture. Because if we're ready, we're gone. He's so anxious for us. The minute we're ready, we're gone. Hallelujah. So what's the Holy Ghost for? The Holy Ghost is to get us ready to rapture. The message is there to tie up the loose ends. But we've got to pray that the Holy Ghost would lead us into all these truths, step after step, moment after moment. We've got to say, Lord, I don't quite understand it. I know what Brother Branham said about shorts, boys. I know what he said. And I can find it in the Bible. I don't struggle with that, but I know a lot of young men struggle with shorts. They do. And you think, why, Lord? Why can't I wear short pants? Why can't I do that, Lord? I know Brother Branham said this. I know Brother Branham said this. Don't look at what Brother Branham said. I'll be careful. Because if you're not getting it, by what Brother Branham said, then you need to go back. Get the Holy Ghost. Pray for the Holy Ghost. And it will lead you into all truths. I'm not saying discard what Brother Branham said. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying there's a void there somewhere. There's something missing. I'm not saying that when you get the Holy Ghost, you have all this understanding. That's not what it is. But if you're still struggling with shorts and you feel you got the Holy Ghost, you need to say, Lord, you said you would lead me into all truth. Your Holy Ghost led me to this message. Your message said that it was wrong for me to wear shorts. I need a revelation of that. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It dawned on the Gopher Boys shorts. It goes for makeup and skirts. I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear some of these knothead preachers saying, it's okay, honey.
That's right.
That's the wrong message. They never had the Holy Ghost because it would lead them into all truth and they wouldn't be feeding poison to our message churches. This might be the last time I ever preach here or any other message churches. I go to Limestone. I can release some there. Young people, I know there's mass confusion. And I know that at this point in your lives, you're going through all these other changes,
right,
as well as trying to get a hold of God.
Yeah, right. Come on.
Let's just leave that right there for right now. Let that sit just a minute. Let's go back to this rich young ruler. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This is a message kid. He was living in the very message of that hour. He had been told, we don't eat pigs. But Lord, I like bacon. I know I want some bacon.
Come on, eat it, bro.
I don't understand what's wrong with bacon.
Amen. Come on.
I'm trying to get real close, real right where we live. Little Jimmy's eating bacon. Little Susie's going to the movies. Their mom and dad go to a message church and they let them go to the movies. Woo. There's some toe curling going on. I don't understand. I just want bacon. But this rich young ruler, he lived in his parents' house. His parents brought him to church.
Amen.
He knew what he was supposed to do. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. I'm going to stop right here for a second. To me, the message has not one do or don't. Not one. Not one. It's got a whole bunch of grace. A whole bunch of grace. And those of you who've been out in the world know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not one do or don't. I don't look at it at all like that. Of course, I'm on the other side of the fence. That's fair. I've got the Holy Ghost. I understand. I've been through all that mess. And I grew up in the message. Right there. I was almost the rich young ruler. I didn't turn him down. Hallelujah. But they're right there in the message pews. And they've had the message experience. They saw God move. They understood the commandments. They knew the do's and don'ts. Right there. The whole time. And they sit there and they wonder, why? One of the most detrimental things to me, I'm just going to give you a little piece. One of the most detrimental things to me was in the fifth grade, it's drug resistance education. Okay?
Amen.
You know what that did to me? They told me over and over, drugs are bad, drugs are bad, drugs are bad, drugs are bad, drugs are bad. And they are. But there's a reason why people do. I'm going to be flat out honest with you. People don't do drugs because it makes them feel terrible. They don't drink alcohol because it makes them feel terrible, even though it does make you feel terrible. But in the moment, there's an attraction there. It ain't nothing like the Holy Ghost. But there's an attraction there. So when I got up in age, my curiosity was stirred. And I tried it. And it wasn't bad at first. I know your parents are going, "Dear God, make him stop." But I need to be honest with you. I've got to be honest. I'm not going to lie to you. There's some sort of attraction. There's a reason why people do that stuff. It makes you lose your mind and act like an idiot. But you feel good while you're doing it. But now, because I'm on the other side of it, I don't see it as a do and don't.
Amen.
I see it as grace. When you're digging through the dirt in your couch, looking for something to smoke, there's the other side, folks. There's the other side of it. It's not so good anymore. If I never would have started, I would have never dug my hands in that nasty couch.
Amen. Right.
Yeah. Phew. That's enough about me. Grace. It's not do's and don'ts. Hold on to that. Say, "Lord, I need the Holy Ghost to give me a real understanding of grace. A real understanding of grace. I know you died for my sins. I know you saved me and you set me free and you healed me. But you also need to know why."
Amen.
We don't wear shorts.
Amen.
We do drugs. We don't do drugs.
Yes, sir.
We don't bob off our hair.
Amen.
I don't struggle with not wearing shorts. Do I understand it? All the pieces and all this. Not really. But I don't want to do it. And it ain't because I just got knobby knees. There's more to it than that. I want to be a separated people. I want to stick out like a sore thumb. And you say, "Brother John, your knobby knees probably would." No! They're everywhere! When people go by, I was at the beach. I know some of you don't understand that, but that's just pray for the Holy Ghost to give you understanding that. I've got five little ones, four little ones, four little ones. That was close. It was close. I don't want to speak anything into existence right now. Four. They like the water. We'll find a nice, quiet place away from people. And we'll play with our kids. If somebody does happen to go by, they're not going to see me half naked. I've got my long pants on. And I got shirts. A shirt on. Two reasons. I don't want to be harpooned. And because I believe in holiness. See, it is grace. But you see, when you get on the other side of that, you say, Brother John, there's so many different things. I got one answer. And it's not the message. It's not the message. Because, you know, it says, the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truths. If the message is part of the truth, then the Holy Ghost will get me there. It doesn't say the message will lead you to the Holy Ghost. You got it backwards. We got too many people with the cart before the horse. We got too many people with the message, and they ain't got no Holy Ghost. They got a cart that's sitting still. And when I mean sitting still, I mean there's no rapture involved. There's no movement. It's dead as a hammer. We have got something so outstanding. And it's outstanding to even those that don't have the Holy Ghost. Why are all these people coming to it, realizing that they ain't got what it takes, and leaving out? They stick with it for years and years and years and years. We come to know them and love them, and they play the part beautifully for a while. It's wonderful in itself. The message is wonderful. Brother Branham is awesome. The things that he did were just wow. But you know why he did those things? Because he had the Holy Ghost. Whew. I'm not going to get to this rich young ruler. And he said unto him, which? Now here he is. There's a little bit of discernment there. He grew up in the message. But he's trying to find out which rules he can get away with. Is that right? He asked, which one of these do I need to follow? Because man, I sure would like to disrespect mama. Woo! Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, well, if I got to do that, I've been doing it this long. I've been in the message this long, and I'm still living at mom and dad's house, and I've still got to go to church. And I've been doing that all these years. All these years. All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? I'm in. Too many message kids. and too many message adults. Say, I've been in the message for 20 years. I'm in. These things have I done since I was a babe in Christ. I know all the do's and don'ts. I've got it down to a science. I hold my Bible just right. I've always got a message book on the dash, just in case.
Reach it out. Reach off.
I go to church. I pay my tithes. I quote the prophet.
Reach it, bro.
We won't talk about what I live like at home in front of my kids. There goes some toes again, Brother Terry. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm crossing pasture lines there. Sorry. But we have got to understand. I will tell the parents this. Do not. And this is something that I've been wanting to say for a long time. Do not tell your children that they are rotten, filthy, nasty sinners when they make a mistake. Do not. I love those young people. I love them. And I hate to see them get built up in church and beat down at home. I hate. To hear that because their parents don't think they're any good, and they've told them that over and over and over again. And they've told them that they'll never make it, and they've told them that they're no good. And they've told them they might as well just give up. That my young people, and I say they're mine. Brother Donnie's young people and Brother Wes's young people. I hate to see them walk out. Because you've never, I've been telling you that you've got to get a revelation of grace. You know what that tells me? That parents, in this message, do not have a good understanding of what grace is. We need to tell our children when they're wrong. We need to do that. And we've got to hold a standard in our home. But let me ask you something. When Brother Donnie gets up here and he corrects us, he corrects us.
Amen.
Does he follow us all the way home and keep correcting us?
No, sir.
No, he does not. Why? Because he's got the Holy Ghost. And he loves his children.
Amen.
And he wants us to get right.
Right.
If you don't have an understanding of grace, you will not make it. You will not make it. Say, Brother John, grace is just such a small part of it, but it's such a key component.
Amen.
Because we are human and we are going to make mistakes, young people.
Amen.
We're going to make mistakes.
Amen.
But if you don't have that understanding of grace, I make mistakes all the time. Man. And he corrects me on it. And I kick myself for doing it. I'm hard on myself. I should be. But you know, there comes a point, like David did with Bathsheba. He wept and he cried because he knew he made a mistake. And he was pleading for God's mercy. And he wanted that child to live. And he was so upset that his servants feared going to him. That's how upset he was. He was so upset. They didn't even want to go talk to him. But after he was corrected, completely corrected, God completely corrected David. There is consequences when you sin. There is consequences when you sin. David lost that child. And and he begged and pleaded and cried out to God. But when he found out that the child was gone, he said, "Oh, okay, Lord. The reason, the product of my sin was born." My harvest was right there. My sin created this child. You took it away from me. And because I know that this child was a direct result of my sin, I can understand that when you took that away from me, the result of my sin was gone. I'm going to get up and I'm going to wash myself and I'm going to go eat. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you realize that the result of your sin has been all taken care of. When you come up to the altar and you repent and you really repent and you weep and you cry and you get it all out. And that burden in your heart is lifted.
Amen.
Get up, wash yourself, and go on with God. Amen. That's what grace is.
Amen.
That's what grace is. And until we understand that, until parents, you start letting your children understand that, until you start representing that right, our young people will struggle over and over and over and over again. Because the result of their sin has been lifted.
Amen.
Why are you beating them with it? Can you imagine if the prophet come up to him and held that baby in front of his face? David, look at what you did. Look at what you did. Can you believe this? Look at this. That dead baby right in his face the whole time. What would have that done to David? So don't let the devil throw your offspring in your face over and over. Bury that thing and move on. Hallelujah. Whew. Kids got school in the morning. All right. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Well, Brother John, I ain't got riches, so just going to follow. Everybody's got that thing. The rich young ruler, his was that old money. He got comfortable. Brother Branham talks about it, and I encourage you all to read Graduation, Come Follow Me. It's short, but it's good. Come Follow Me. I've got it here and I could quote from it, and and all that, but I'm running short on time. But he said that this rich young ruler got accustomed to that. We get accustomed to being message. We get accustomed to being around the Word. We get accustomed of hearing this great revelation pour over this pulpit. Our pastor labors and he studies, and our evangelists come in and they labor and they study and they give out and they give so much. And it's so powerful. And we feel the presence of God, and we go to Louisiana camp and we're dancing around and we love it. And you think, man, I got some money. I've been around the message. I got the good stuff. I'm comfortable right here. This is the message. I know what it's all about. I've heard it quoted. I watched it. I've heard it. It's great. It's got to be the greatest thing. It is. But you're fed up to hear with knowledge. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, sorry. You get comfortable and you get tired of saying, Lord. Because, there's a pattern. And I watch it when I work with the youth. There's a pattern that you see. You've got the little ones that are Sunday school age, and they're learning all the Bible stories. David and Goliath and all this stuff. And you start getting into, when you get into Brother Jay's class, you start getting into some more of the meat of it. Man, that's exciting. It's great stuff.
Amen.
It's exciting. And they start really wanting more of it because it's good. It's good for young people.
Amen.
And you start getting to that, and you're 13 and 14, and you're doing youth services, and you get to fellowship with young people, and you don't feel like you're on an island because you got other believers to associate with, and there's, you're not the only long hair, long skirt girl in the room. Not that I've ever been that, but you know what I'm saying. And you feel like you've got this connection to the message.
Sure. Amen. Right.
And you start watching. You're like, man. And then you start getting in that mode where you hear it, you've heard it for 16 years. Well, let's go to church again.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Yeah. You know, I still like it. I'm in the message. I still believe. I still like it. But do we have to go to church every time the doors are open?
Preach it now. Come on.
Okay. We'll go. We still got youth services. We'll still get to go to Louisiana. Woo!
Hola,
I love Louisiana. And you start missing the fact that we can create the Louisiana atmosphere right here.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Louisiana does not have rights on the Holy Ghost. They don't have rights on the atmosphere that can be created. We can do that here. Well, John, I've seen it. I've seen Brother Greg get anointed. I've seen Sister Janet get anointed. I've seen Brother Charlie wahoo. And I've seen that. Louisiana's fresh and new. You know what's missing in this church? I'm glad Sister Janet does that. I'm glad Brother Charlie does that. But you know what's missing? A wahoo from you.
Amen. Amen.
If you got entered into the service, it wouldn't be, I got to go to church again.
Right.
If you could start creating that atmosphere around you, not Louisiana, around you. If you let the Holy Ghost move through you, now we're talking. Now we're having church. I'm going to tell you a little secret, young people. Some of these older people, they can't move like they used to. But they sure would like to see you move. Right. That atmosphere can be here. And that goes for some of you 20-year-old, 16-year-olds. I mean, 50-year-old, 16-year-olds.
Amen.
It gets common to some old people, too. Older people. There's no old people here. It gets common.
Amen.
Can we... Sometimes does it get common? Can we be honest? You cannot let that happen. But the devil will let it happen to you. Or God will let it happen to you. So you appreciate it so much more when you come back. You need to experience it. Because then you start getting a greater appreciation for the atmosphere. You know, when that happens for most of us back there in Siberia... And you got four youngins, and I said four. It gets hard back there. And you all need to pray for us out. Because it gets hard. It gets hard on mamas not being able to hear. It gets hard on daddies that help back there. And those that don't, shame on you. Sorry, pastor stuff. But we're a body. It's a body move. And what does this body need? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost is lacking back there, we need to pray that they get it back there. If the Holy Ghost is lacking on this side of the church, or that side, Lord, let it spill on over there.
Amen.
Let it spill on over there. I want to create an atmosphere. I want to watch the Holy Ghost move. It will lead you into all truth. So why am I harping so much on the Holy Ghost? Because I want to leave. I've got selfish motives. We're not going to leave until I get what I need to get. How do I get it? Study the message 15 hours a day. No. No. When Brother Donnie, when I saw the email from Brother Donnie to come preach, I thought, oh God. Lord, you're not doing this. I said, I don't really know what I'm going to preach. And this thought comes, bam. I said, okay. Amen. And I give him back a Brother Donnie answer. Yes, Brother John.
Praise the Lord.
But you see, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you ask him, Brother Branham says, he comes where he's invited. Amen. So if you invite him, Brother John, do I have to get all cleaned up and scrubbed up and sanctified and get the Holy Ghost? Get the Holy Ghost and he'll scrub you up. He'll clean you up. He'll lead you to all truth. You won't have to question about your long dresses or your long hair. You get the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. It will lead you into all truth. The message is the truth. I want to make sure everybody understands. I am not against the message. It is the truth. It's what the Holy Ghost led me to. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. All your questions will dissipate. All your fears will go away. I'm not scared of a sniper coming through here and aiming his gun at me. I know where I'm going. I worry about my children. I worry about my wife. I might worry about the ill effects it might cause my poor father. But for me, I ain't worried about that. Do you have that peace? Brother John, you mean you understand? No, I don't understand everything. But I know that I've got the Holy Ghost. And it's going to lead me into all truths. And I'm going to understand what I need to understand. And then I'm going to leave. The Holy Ghost will lead you into all truths. I'm going to read another quote. And this is the one quote I wanted to make sure they got up there. But I didn't make sure they got it up there. Because it's really strong. And today, we're trying to run to this church and say, is this got the message? Now, whoever put these together made it a little M, not a big M. But the message was a message even back then. Is that right? This is the great coming revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Chicago, Illinois, Sunday, 54:07:18 a.m. This is a message quote. A Brother Branham quote. I'm not going out of bounds here. This is really strong. And today we're trying to run to this church and say, is this got the message? Over here. Has this got the message? Is this the right? There's one thing God has given us. An everlasting star. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the guider of the church of the living God today. To lead them into truth and all light. Amen. I'm not shouting at you, but that's pretty strong now there. And I was backing up a little from it. Just like I was. That's a hard message quote. Look, the Holy Spirit, when He has come, He will guide, He will lead and guide you into all truth and will show you things to come. That's the sign of the church today. Watch where the Holy Spirit is moving. Where the Holy Spirit's moving, you'll find love and joy and peace and signs and wonders and the associated God. The power of God amongst His people like this will be showing signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He will be showing the signs and wonders of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means we're going to get carried away in an atmosphere. And there's going to be healings. There's going to be the 9 spiritual gifts. There's going to be those things in the people. Jesus said, the things that I do shall you do also. Greater things than this will you do, for I go unto my Father. And you'll see the things that Jesus did. We'll be accompanying that group of people. Amen. That group of people. He said, I'm not stressing the message here. Don't run from church and say, is this the message? Yeah. That's what He said. He said, there's one thing God has, an everlasting star. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the thing that's going to hold us. Am I a bit concerned if Brother Donnie completely stopped reading quotes? No. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost will lead him back to those quotes. It's part of the truth. We can't get away from it. If it's part of the truth, then we, if we've got the Holy Ghost, cannot get away from the message. And the message can't get away from us because we've got the Holy Ghost and they're one. Don't worry about these quacks that are going around saying, oh, I served him all these years and I've seen this one fall and I don't believe anymore. I don't believe anymore. You never had the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. I'm praying for you. I pray that this shakes you to the very root. I pray that the devil that you're listening to right now absolutely wraps your head until you understand. You need the Holy Ghost. I gotta stop. Let's stand. This is our inheritance. Down through the ages, they've been waiting for this. We've got the fullness. And we can handle it. Through the Word, we've been maturing, maturing, maturing. The grain is laid before the sun and it's ripening. It's right there. It's ready. We've got an inheritance trust and it's waiting for us. The fullness is waiting for us. We've just got to count on the Holy Ghost. Don't stop reading your message. No, that's part of the truth. But you've got to let the Holy Ghost lead you into all truths.
That's right.
You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I don't understand this about the message. I don't understand it. And you don't get frustrated and walk away.
No.
If you've got the Holy Ghost, what does it do? It leads you to that truth.
Amen.
It leads you to the truth. How complicated is that, Brother Terry? You've got to wait. Hey, I'm going to give one more testimony. I know. My wife has probably run out with my kids already. When I was doing the elevators, I was out of town a lot. I had one son and a daughter on the way. I only had two then. And when my son was born, I was missing. I was gone. Early Monday morning to late Friday night, sometimes Saturday. And then I was gone again. I think I did it for almost 9 months. And I love that job. I love that job. But I said, Lord, I just can't. I'm missing my family. I'm missing it. And I don't. You know, I don't care if, you know, it's a good paying job. It's a good job. I like it. Like what I do. There's not too many people that can really like what they do and get paid well for it. But I was doing it. But I was miserable because I had a new family. And me and my wife started praying. We started praying. And it just, one night, it settled. It's settled. Lord, you're going to do something.
Sure.
And I went to, we went down to the church down in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, Brother Burley's. And we went down there for a service. And we went to church and Brother Burley didn't even preach. It was that brother from New Zealand. We fellowshiped a little bit with some of the brothers there, and afterward they kind of went their own separate way, and I just had the weekend off, and we just wanted to kind of take it easy, and I had my son, he was a year old, something maybe, and we decided to stop at an ice cream shop, and
I got out and my wife was doing something and she needed the air conditioner on for a minute or something. Anyway, she locked the keys in the car. And it was hot. It was June, July, something like that. It was hot. My son's shoes were in the car. All the doors were locked up tight. And she'd done it before and I'd kind of lost it. Sorry. I told you I make mistakes. But this time the Lord really helped me. I just said, just go get a hanger. You try and control that eye, you know. Just go get a hanger. And I tried, and my car had the locks that wouldn't pull up like that, and I was so. And a SUV pulled up next to us, and it sounded like they were arguing in the car. And it was a black guy and a black lady. I don't know why. Brother Joel, I don't know why we had to quantify that. See? We've talked about that before. But, you know, and he looked over and he said, "Man, you're having a hard time, ain't you?" I said, "Well, yeah. My wife locked the keys in the car." And he said, "The Lord's been putting people in front of me like this all day. So I'm going to call a tow truck." And I said, "Well, you don't have to do that." He said, "No, I want to call a tow truck and pay for it." I said, "Really, you don't have to do that." He said, "No, the Lord's been doing this all day. I want to do it." And he said, "I'll just give you the money and whatever." And he called him. Then he decided to sit there and wait. And we sat there for a while and we ate our ice cream. And after 1 mile, you know, my wife, she's ultra polite. "Go talk to him. Go talk to him." So I went over there and I said, "Sir, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, I've got the money to pay for that." He said, "I know you do, but I want to do it." And I said, I understand that. And I appreciate that. And because you want to do it, I'm going to let you. Because I've done stuff for people, tried to do stuff for people. They say, no, and they won't let you do it. And I feel like, you know, it's almost like slapping God in the face. I said, if you want to do it, if the Lord's laid it on your heart to do it, then I'm going to let you do it. And he said, "You're a Christian too." I said, "Yes, sir." And we got to talking about the Lord and talking about just how that we were put on this earth to worship. That's what we were created for. God wasn't God before. And we're right in the middle of conversation, and his wife leans over. Now, they did, you know, they saw my wife's long hair, and they said, "Now, we're barbers right down the street. You know, if you want to come by, we're hairstylists. We work together." And so, you know, and they're bobbed hair, and they got earrings, and he leans over, and she leans over like this, and she said, "Holy Spirit just told me don't worry about your job." Whoa! Whoa! She said, "I don't know why I just said that, but I know that the Holy Ghost told me not to worry about your job. He's got it taken care of. The Holy Ghost will lead you." We've been praying for months. We didn't have no answers. Guess what? After I had that, we waited another 5-6 months before I had another job. But you see how mindful?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost can use anybody or anything at any time for his children. For his children. But we've got to be willing to accept it from anybody at any time for any reason. Let's pray. I've got to stop. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful to you, Lord.
We love you so much, Lord. And we, Lord, you know how worried and tore up I've been about trying to get this together. And you gave me the thought and you gave me two totally different directions, Lord. I felt like, and you, I'm just so thankful, Lord, that you come down and you helped me, Lord. Father, where I fell short, Lord, I pray that that Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that led me and guided me this far, Lord, whatever gaps were missing, Lord, I pray that you fill in those gaps, Lord. And I pray that every need was met, Lord Jesus. And if it wasn't met tonight, Lord, may you, on their way home, Lord, may something drop in their heart, Father. That's what they come here for, to get needs met, Lord. And I believe you're that kind of God. Lord, we're counting on that Holy Ghost. We believe fully on that Holy Ghost. We trust wholly on that Holy Ghost. Lord, we're not just message believers, Lord. We're so much more than that. We're Holy Ghost believers. And we believe you're leading us, guiding us to all truth. And when I say all truth, Lord, I mean all truth that's going to get us out of here, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray that you would be lifted up, Lord. May we be able to worship you, Lord. I run long, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I just felt so compelled in my heart. I don't want to apologize for preaching your word, Lord. But I know there's school in the morning. I pray that you just bless them and help them. And may they get a good night's rest, Lord Jesus, for school in the morning. Lord, you're able to do that even, Lord. We love you. We thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing The Only Real Peace again, if you would. That's a hard song for me to sing because it always makes me tear up. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in the only that I have.
frustrations, I need you. I know I do. And the only new peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only new peace I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only
what I want to
I give you praise. For we'll be right back. worship you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Blessed be thy name, O God. Blessed be thy name. How we love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Just worship a while, saints.
And I lift my voice to
just lift your hands. Just forget about what you gotta do, where you gotta go.
Oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Your name, Lord. I love the Lord. That's why I lift my voice to worship my King. The very depths of my soul, it doth rejoice.
As we go, just take this little thought, this little song with you.
How many times have I heard that line? They say, preacher, I still got plenty of time. But what you gonna do if it comes to mind? What you gonna do? Will you